Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast. And today I am so excited to introduce you to Carol Post. We actually met at the ACFW conference, and it's just exciting to have those connections and then bring authors that are new to me and new to you as well, as I'm sure, to the podcast. So welcome, Carol. So glad to have you.
Thank you, Melissa. I'm so happy to be here.
I just have to let everybody know, I have not read Carol's books yet, but am I right in that you've written 26 books?
I'm working on number 26.
Okay. So she, I have no doubt, has lots of great books out there, and I can't wait, Carol, for you to share those books. So, but before we dig into that, can you just share a little bit about how you became an author?
Sure. Well, I've always enjoyed writing. Even as a kid, I was one of these weird kids that enjoyed doing book reports and research papers and all. And I never considered writing for publication until it was like the early to mid 90s. My husband and I we worked with Marriage Encounter doing the Marriage Encounter weekends. We were one of the teen couples. Excuse me. And so what we would do is we would write our talks because they were, you know, followed a format and everything that the whole weekend did. And so we would write our talks and then send them off to the lead teen couple to edit and everything. And my second talk that I sent in, she told me that this is the first talk that she's ever gotten in 25 years of doing this that did not require any edits. And that's what actually put the thought in my head that, I might be able to write. So if it weren't for that experience, I don't know that I would have ever considered being a writer.
That is so cool. And I find it very interesting how God lines things up. You know, yes. It was that job that kind of led you into the author piece of things. That always fascinates me.
Yes. Yep. I always say God has a way of orchestrating things in ways that we never could.
Yes, I completely agree. I have to ask, do you enjoy the editing side of the writing process?
I actually do. I do enjoy doing the edits. Probably my favorite part might be the research. I do really enjoy research, which usually research involves travel, which involves camping, and when possible, throw in a little hiking and kayaking and bonfires too. And so we have visited for research trips. We visited Tennessee, Louisiana, Washington, different places around North Carolina and Florida. And so I always enjoy the travel, and fortunately our cats do too, because they camp with us.
Oh, that has to make it interesting to have your cats along with you.
Yep.
So what would you say is your favorite place that you've gone to visit for research for your books?
Let's see. Wow. Washington State, where we were there, that was pretty cool. And actually where I went for the book that's coming out in December that we'll be talking about, we went to Real Foot Lake State Park, which is real near the little town where my book is set. And that it was really cool. It was just this good, you know, nice small town setting. And the park, we were there in November, so we almost had the whole campground to ourselves. So, but it was just real pretty area.
So, what type of research then are you doing when you take these trips?
What I do is I get most of the way through the rough draft before I leave home, just using Google Maps and stuff like that. But then whenever I go to do the actual research on site, I'm making sure that the scenes that I've set in different places are actually going to work where I've set them, because I don't do fictional settings. I haven't yet. All of my books have been set. Well, actually, my first series I did, I had a real place, real county where I lived, but I did have a fictional town. But other than that, all of my books since have been set in real places. So I'm looking at places like we just did a research trip to New Orleans last month for the book that I finished. And so we were looking like even one of the things I was doing was where would be a really romantic place for the hero to propose to the heroine. And so we just found this really cool park with this tree that most of even the locals don't know about it. There's chimes hidden in the tree, and you don't hear them unless you get up under the tree. And it was the coolest thing, overlooking a lake, real pretty setting and all. So it's like, okay, that's where the hero's got to propose to the heroine.
I love that. I love that. So then, do you keep like the names of the places? Like, let's say if you're looking for a coffee shop for where maybe they meet, do you keep the names of the actual coffee shops or do you kind of change those details?
Nope, it's the actual places. I've even
Wow.
mentioned businesses before where, somebody will have their car repaired or something like that. And then I get a Facebook Messenger message or an email from the business owner saying, "Thank you so much for the call out." Because
Oh wow.
somebody will read it and tell them.
I was gonna ask if you get that very often where people have read your book and notice their own business or something
Yes.
about their town in it and reach out to you.
Yes, yep, I have.
So tell us a little bit, what genre do you write in?
I've written in both Christian romance and Christian romantic suspense. The majority of my books, actually all but three, are the suspense, and most of them are through love-inspired suspense.
All right, that's exciting. So, what is, could you just tell us a little bit about Detecting Deadly Threats, I believe. Is that your newest book you have out?
Yes. Yep,
Okay.
that is the one that's coming out December 30th, 2025.
Okay.
And that is I set it in Ridgely, Tennessee, and when my sister is my plotting partner, and so we sit out on the balcony at her place and do lunch together and plot books. And so she when I was gonna do this one, it's actually part of a special series of it's a multi-author continuity series. So this is actually book 16 in the series. I also did book two, which was back in 2021, I believe, that it came out. And so it's a long series with a bunch of different authors. And so whenever I was going to be part of this series, and it's Canine Search and Rescue, the whole series is. And so I was talking to my sister and kind of tossing ideas out, and she said, "I think you ought to do one with an earthquake." And so I've done hurricanes, I've never done earthquakes, and so I thought, yeah, that'll be cool. Well, you don't think of earthquakes with Tennessee, but that part of Tennessee, the northwestern part of Tennessee, is actually in the New Madrid seismic zone, which is the most active seismic zone east of the Rocky Mountains. And so there are regular earthquakes there. Usually they're not real strong. I'm in Southwest North Carolina, and we actually have earthquakes here on a regular basis, but they're too soft to feel. And so whenever I went to do this book, I did a lot of research on earthquakes. What do they feel like? What do they sound like? And all this. Couple of months after I turned the book in, my husband and I are sitting in the living room one Saturday morning about 9 o'clock having our devotions, and I hear what sounds like far off thunder, but it doesn't stop. It just keeps getting louder and louder and louder, and then the floor starts shaking, and I hear the upstairs creaking and all, and I seriously, since I had never experienced an earthquake, I seriously thought we were under attack. I ran outside looking for a mushroom cloud,
Oh
but
my goodness.
it was a 4.1 on the Richter scale, and the epicenter was 30 miles north of us. So that was quite an experience, and we didn't have any damage. It wasn't anything like that, but we did have some friends who had dishes fall and things like that. But we didn't even have any pictures come off of the walls or anything. But it gave me a real good idea of, I was able to experience this is what they sound like, this is what they feel like, this is, all of this. So if it would have happened a couple months sooner, I could have saved myself some research, but how that goes.
Of course, but wow, that's incredible. I've never lived where we have earthquakes, but I have found it interesting. We've watched some YouTube videos from people in England that are just absolutely floored by our weather here in the United States because it's so different from them, and they've done things on like the tornadoes and hurricanes, and just really the tornadoes fascinate them because they don't get those.
Oh, interesting.
At least the
Okay, I
people
didn't
that we
realize that.
watched on YouTube, which it's just, it is. You don't think about, where you live, that you're used to whatever weather or natural events happen there. But to be
Yes.
somewhere and something like an earthquake happens, I wouldn't know what to do either, Carol. I probably
Right.
would have thought the same thing. Wow. Wow. So in Detecting Deadly Threats, you said this is book 16, or I'm sorry, what book number is that?
Yeah,
And is there 16
this is
books in?
actually book 16 of the multi-author continuity series. They're
Okay.
all separate. They're only connected by theme. They're all canine search and rescue. But like
Okay.
we don't have, I mean, they're different settings, they're different characters and all that. So this
So
is
truly
very much a
standalone.
standalone.
Yeah.
Yes, all
Okay.
standalones.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about your book.
Okay, the heroine Lauren is a hobby photographer and a jewelry store owner. And she has just, when the book opens, she's just come back to her store after spending lunch in the park across the street. And besides eating her lunch, she was going around taking pictures and everything. And so she's a short time after getting back to the store, a masked gunman comes in and she thinks he's there to rob her, obviously, jewelry store, masked gunman. Well, he says he doesn't want her jewelry, he doesn't want her money, and he grabs her and he's getting ready to haul her out of the store when a second masked gunman comes in and he's trying to stop the first one from taking her. And it gets ugly. The second guy gets shot. And then that's when the earthquake happens. And so the killer, he escapes, but the man who shot and the heroine are trapped when the building comes down on them. And the hero has just moved to Tennessee from California. A couple of months before that, he acquired his 13-year-old nephew whenever his sister was killed in a car accident. So he's having to raise his nephew, and his nephew was getting into all kinds of trouble and all. And so he figured, I'm going to get him away from his bad friends, all the bad influences here, and I'm going to take him to this tiny town in Tennessee. So he is renting the apartment over the top of the heroine's jewelry store. So when the building collapses, she's out of a store and he's out of a home. And so anyway, when they're trying to figure out where the threat came from, who is this man that was trying to abduct her, who's the man who was trying to stop him from abducting her. He had to have been up to no good also because he walked in with a mask carrying a gun. And so she doesn't know, is it something to do with a picture that I took? Did I accidentally capture something in the my pictures that is incriminating for someone? Or she also, her brother, when the man that got killed, the second gunman, was actually her brother. And he had been in all kinds of trouble and he was finally getting his life straightened out and she was helping him and all of this. So she has no idea what he's gotten back involved in. And is that who the people are? Is it something to do with something he got involved in? So throughout the story, they're trying to figure out who's after her and why. And of course, there's all the threats with love-inspired suspense. It's always very intense, danger and suspense and all the way through.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds quite intriguing, actually. Yeah, I'm gonna have to pick that up and read it. I just have not had the opportunity to do that. I did want to point out, I know that Carol said that this book comes out in December of 2025. And I realize that this episode is airing in the summer of 2026, but we recorded before December of 2025. So by the time you hear this, the book is out and available for you to read. And I assume that comes out in both paperback and ebook.
Yes, and I think audio too.
Oh,
I
great.
believe it's going to be out in the audio.
Oh, exciting. So all formats for everybody, because everybody has a different format they prefer. Or if you're
Yes.
like me, I like ebook and paperback. Do you have a preference, Carol, when you go to read a book?
I like ebooks simply because I do a lot of my reading in bed at night and I can have the light off so my husband can sleep while I'm reading.
I hear that a lot, actually, from a lot of ladies who like to read. They read ebooks simply for that reason. So,
Yeah.
I completely understand. I tend to have more than one book going at a time, so I'll have a paperback going and then an ebook going. Do you ever do that?
Not very often. Actually, about the only time I do that is my husband and I are reading a thriller together right now, and then I'm also reading a love-inspired suspense book.
Oh, fun. Fun. So with that, do you have a favorite author that you really enjoy? Or you could maybe even
There's
name top three if it's hard to decide.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard to decide. Currently, I'm reading a book by Katie Lee, and it's Holiday. Oh, goodness, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a love-inspired suspense book by Katie Lee, and real exciting. And I was in the mood for, since we got the holidays coming up, I was in the mood for picking up something that was holiday related. And so I chose that one. And a lot of the love-inspired suspense authors, I really enjoy them. I mean, they're just all really good.
I find that authors tend to read what they write, which is great. It's great advice, by the way, for anybody listening that's an aspiring author. Read what you write. So read in that genre. But you already have a passion for the genre, right? Because you enjoy reading it. So then it
Yes.
makes it very easy to pick up and start writing it, I think. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's really important. That's one thing that I tell people when they say, what advice do you have for new writers and all? And that's one of them. One of the pieces of advice that I always give is to just, read, 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 read. And especially in the genre that you're wanting to be published in. And it's not that you're copying, But you're seeing how they put things together. How do they do the characterization? How do they, where do they introduce different things as far as plot and characters and all that? And I'll have to tell you, when I was wanting to become published with love-inspired suspense, I got several love-inspired suspense books, and I created spreadsheets, and I had characterization, plot, romance, suspense, all these different columns, and I was making all these notes about how each author handled each of these things. And I don't recommend this for everybody because I come from an accounting background, and so that was kind of right up my alley. That's probably not normal, but the principle is there, though. Just really, study how they do it, and because even different publishers want things, they have different requirements and different preferences and all. So when you're targeting a particular publisher, read as much as you can in that genre what that publisher actually publishes.
That is excellent advice. Thank you so much, Carol, for that. That is great. I would agree. Most people in writing aren't doing spreadsheets because math tends to not be something that they enjoy. But I am right there with you, Carol. I do spreadsheets at work, so I would have
Ah,
probably
there
done
you
the
go.
same thing.
Yeah.
So, do you? How can readers connect with you? And can you tell us your website address so that readers can go and see all of the books you've done so far?
Yes. Yep. My web address is, it's just my name, Carol J. Post. And my newsletter sign up is on there. You get two free books for signing up and ebooks. And my newsletter comes out once a month, and I usually share a giveaway, what's happening as far as my travels. I usually have something in there about my cats and just different what I'm reading. A lot of times I'll have that in there, and what's coming up, different things about what I'm working on or whatever. And so I try to keep it interesting. And then I'm also on Facebook, Carol J. Post, and Instagram and X. And then you can find me on, like Goodreads and all.
Yeah. I have to ask on your cats, what are their names?
They are Ziggy, Zorro, and Ziva. And every so often they take over my blog with a post called "It's Saturday." So
Oh.
they'll do it on a Saturday, and we post it on a Saturday, but it's Saturday.
Oh my goodness. I love those names. Okay. So Zorro and Ziva, those are from TV shows, correct?
Yes.
And
Yep.
Ziggy, is Ziggy also or no?
No, Ziggy was actually my brother's cat many several years back. He only had him for, I guess, about a year or so, and then gave him to me. And Zorro was a rescue from the Humane Society, and then Ziva showed up here probably about 4 months ago and had four kittens in our woodshed. And so we found homes for all four kittens, but we weren't able to find a home for Ziva. And our original plan was that we were just going to go ahead and fix her and let her be an outdoor cat and, be a mouser because we thought she was feral. But it turns out she's so super sweet. She just wants to be with you constantly and wants to be in your lap and just purrs. And the other day I was petting her and she was drooling on me. That's how sweet she is. So we were like, no, this can't be an outdoor cat. Well, whenever we have cats, they're always indoors, and we have a catio that they can go, in and out and enjoy the outdoors without being unsafe.
Oh, I love it. It sounds interesting. Sounds like we all need to sign up for Carol's newsletter, just to keep up with the cats and their fun blog posts. All right. Do you have anything else you would like to share with our listeners today?
I've just had a lot of fun being on here. I really appreciate you having me on, Melissa. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, I really enjoyed getting to know you more, Carol, because I felt like we didn't get a ton of time together at the conference. So it was great to connect again, and I'm sure we'll have you back on again in the future as well.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening in to our interview with Carol. And remember, you can connect with her through her newsletter, which you can sign up for on her website at caroljpost.com. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast. And today I am so excited to introduce you to Carol Post. We actually met at the ACFW conference, and it's just exciting to have those connections and then bring authors that are new to me and new to you as well, as I'm sure, to the podcast. So welcome, Carol. So glad to have you.
Thank you, Melissa. I'm so happy to be here.
I just have to let everybody know I have not read Carol's books yet. But am I right in that you've written 26 books?
Working on number 26.
Okay. So she, I have no doubt, has lots of great books out there, and I can't wait, Carol, for you to share those books. So, but before we dig into that, can you just share a little bit about how you became an author?
Sure. Well, I've always enjoyed writing. Even as a kid, I was one of these weird kids that enjoyed doing book reports and research papers and all. And I never considered writing for publication until it was like the early to mid-90s. My husband and I were we worked with Marriage Encounter doing the Marriage Encounter weekends. We were one of the teen couples. Excuse me. And so what we would do is we would write our talks because they were, followed a format and everything that the whole weekend did. And so we would write our talks and then send them off to the lead team couple to edit and everything. And my second talk that I sent in, she told me that this is the first talk that she's ever gotten in 25 years of doing this that did not require any edits. And that's what actually put the thought in my head that, I might be able to write. So if it weren't for that experience, I don't know that I would have ever considered being a writer.
That is so cool. And I find it very interesting how God lines things up. You know, it was that job that kind of led you into the author piece of things. That always fascinates me.
I always say God has a way of orchestrating things in ways that we never could.
Yes, I completely agree. I have to ask, do you enjoy the editing side of the writing process?
I actually do. I do enjoy doing the edits. Probably my favorite part might be the research. I do really enjoy research, which usually research involves travel, which involves camping, and when possible, throw in a little hiking and kayaking and bonfires too. And so we have visited for research trips. We visited Tennessee, Louisiana, Washington, different places around North Carolina and Florida. And so I always enjoy the travel, and fortunately, our cats do too, because they camp with us.
That has to make it interesting to have your cats along with you. So, what would you say is your favorite place that you've gone to visit for research for your books?
Let's see. Wow. Washington State, where we were there, that was pretty cool. And actually where I went for the book that's coming out in December that we'll be talking about, we went to Real Foot Lake State Park, which is real near the little town where my book is set. And that it was really cool. It was just this good, nice small town setting. And the park, we were there in November, so there we almost had the whole campground to ourselves. So, but it was just real pretty area.
So, what type of research then are you doing when you take these trips?
What I do is I get most of the way through the rough draft before I leave home, just using Google Maps and stuff like that. But then whenever I go to do the actual research on site, I'm making sure that the scenes that I've set in different places are actually going to work where I've set them, because I don't do fictional settings. I haven't yet. All of my books have been set. Well, actually, my first series I did, I had a real place, real county where I lived, but I did have a fictional town. But other than that, all of my books since have been set in real places. So I'm looking at places like we just did a research trip to New Orleans last month for the book that I finished. And so we were looking like even one of the things I was doing was where would be a really romantic place for the hero to propose to the heroine. And so we just found this really cool park with this tree that most of even the locals don't know about it. There's chimes hidden in the tree, and you don't hear them unless you get up under the tree. And it was the coolest thing, overlooking a lake, real pretty setting and all. So it's like, okay, that's where the hero's got to propose to the heroine.
I love that. I love that. So then do you keep like the names of the places? Like let's say if you're looking for a coffee shop for where maybe they meet, do you keep the names of the actual coffee shops or do you kind of change those details?
Nope, it's the actual places. I've
Wow.
even mentioned businesses before where somebody will have their car repaired or something like that. And then I get a Facebook Messenger message or an email from the business owner saying, "Thank you so much for the call out." Because somebody will read it and tell them.
I was going to ask if you get that very often where people have read your book and notice their own business or something
Yeah.
about their town in it and reach out to you.
Yes, yep, I have.
So tell us a little bit, what genre do you write in?
I've written in both Christian romance and Christian romantic suspense. The majority of my books, actually all but three, are the suspense, and most of them are through love-inspired suspense.
Hey, that's exciting. So, could you just tell us a little bit about Detecting Deadly Threats, I believe. Is that your newest book you have out?
Yes. Yep,
Okay.
that is the one that's coming out December 30th, 2025. And that is, I set it in Ridgely, Tennessee, when my sister is my plotting partner. And so we sit out on the balcony at her place and do lunch together and plot books. So she, when I was gonna do this one, it's actually part of a special series of it's a multi-author continuity series. So this is actually book 16 in the series. I also did book two, which was back in 2021, I believe, that it came out. And so it's a long series with a bunch of different authors. And so whenever I was going to be part of this series, and it's, Canine Search and Rescue, the whole series is. And so I was talking to my sister and kind of tossing ideas out. And she said, "I think you ought to do one with an earthquake." And so I've done hurricanes, I've never done earthquakes. And so I thought, yeah, that'll be cool. Well, you don't think of earthquakes with Tennessee, but that part of Tennessee, the northwestern part of Tennessee, is actually in the New Madrid seismic zone, which is the most active seismic zone east of the Rocky Mountains. And so there are regular earthquakes there. Usually they're not real strong. I'm in southwest North Carolina, and we actually have earthquakes here on a regular basis, but they're too soft to feel. And so whenever I went to do this book, I did a lot of research on earthquakes. What do they feel like? What do they sound like? And all this. couple of months after I turned the book in, my husband and I are sitting in the living room one Saturday morning about 9 o'clock having our devotions, and I hear what sounds like far off thunder, but it doesn't stop. It just keeps getting louder and louder and louder, and then the floor starts shaking, and I hear the upstairs creaking and all. And I seriously, since I had never experienced an earthquake, I seriously thought we were under attack. I ran outside looking for a mushroom cloud,
Oh
but
my goodness.
it was actually, it was a 4.1 on the Richter scale, and the epicenter was 30 miles north of us. That was quite an experience, and we didn't have any damage. It wasn't anything like that, but we did have some friends who had like dishes fall and things like that, but we didn't even have any pictures come off of the walls or anything. But it gave me a real good idea of, I was able to experience this is what they sound like, this is what they feel like, this is, all of this. So if it would have happened a couple months sooner, I could have saved myself some research, but how that goes.
Of course, but wow, that's incredible. I've never lived where we have earthquakes, but I have found it interesting. We've watched some YouTube videos from people in England that are just absolutely floored by our weather here in the United States because it's so different from them. And they've done things on like the tornadoes and hurricanes, and just really the tornadoes fascinate them because they don't get those.
Interesting.
At least the
Okay, I
people
didn't
that we
realize that.
watched on YouTube, which it's just, it is. You don't think about, where you live, that you're used to whatever weather or natural events happen there. But to be somewhere and something like an earthquake happens, I wouldn't know what to do either, Carol. I probably would have thought the same thing. Wow. So in Detecting Deadly Threats, you said this is book 16, or I'm sorry. What book number is that? And is there
This
16
is
books in?
actually book 16 of the multi-author continuity series.
Okay.
They're all separate. They're only connected by theme. They're all canine search and rescue. Like
Okay.
we don't have, I mean, they're different settings, they're different characters and all that. So this
So
is very
truly
much a
standalones.
standalone.
Yeah.
Yes, all
Okay.
standalones.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about your book.
Okay, the heroine Lauren is a hobby photographer and a jewelry store owner. She has just, when the book opens, she's just come back to her store after spending lunch in the park across the street. And besides eating her lunch, she was going around taking pictures and everything. And so she's a short time after getting back to the store, a masked gunman comes in and she thinks he's there to rob her, obviously, jewelry store, masked gunman. Well, he says he doesn't want her jewelry, he doesn't want her money, and he grabs her and he's getting ready to haul her out of the store when a second masked gunman comes in and he's trying to stop the first one from taking her. And it gets ugly. The second guy gets shot. And then that's when the earthquake happens. And so the killer, he escapes. But the man who shot and the heroine are trapped when the building comes down on them. And the hero has just moved to Tennessee from California. A couple of months before that, he acquired his 13-year-old nephew whenever his sister was killed in a car accident. So he's having to raise his nephew, and his nephew was getting into all kinds of trouble and all. And so he figured, I'm going to get him away from his, bad friends, all the bad influences here, and I'm going to take him to this tiny town in Tennessee. So he is renting the apartment over the top of the heroine's jewelry store. So when the building collapses, she's out of a store and he's out of a home. And so anyway, when they're trying to figure out where the threat came from, who is this man that was trying to abduct her, who's the man who was trying to stop him from abducting her, he had to have been up to no good also because he walked in with a mask carrying a gun. And so she doesn't know, is it something to do with a picture that I took? Did I accidentally capture something in the my pictures that is incriminating for someone? Or she also, her brother, when the man that got killed, the second gunman, was actually her brother. And he had been in all kinds of trouble, and he was finally getting his life straightened out, and she was helping him and all of this. So she has no idea what he's gotten back involved in. And is that who the people are? Is it something to do with something he got involved in? So throughout the story, they're trying to figure out who's after her and why. And of course, there's all the threats with love-inspired suspense. It's always very intense, danger and suspense and all the way through.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds quite intriguing, actually. I'm gonna have to pick that up and read it. I just have not had the opportunity to do that. I did want to point out, I know that Carol said that this book comes out in December of 2025. I realize that this episode is airing in the summer of 2026, but we recorded before December of 2025. So by the time you hear this, the book is out and available for you to read. And I assume that comes out in both paperback and ebook.
Yes, and I think audio too. I
Great.
believe it's going to be out in the audio.
Oh, exciting. So all formats for everybody, because everybody has a different format they prefer. Or if you're
Yes.
like me, I like ebook and paperback. Do you have a preference, Carol, when you go to read a book?
I like ebooks simply because I do a lot of my reading in bed at night and I can have the light off so my husband can sleep while I'm reading.
I hear that a lot, actually, from a lot of ladies who like to read. They read ebooks simply for that reason. So, I completely understand. I tend to have more than one book going at a time, so I'll have a paperback going and then an ebook going. Do you ever do that?
Not very often. Actually, about the only time I do that is my husband and I are reading a thriller together right now. And then I'm also reading a love-inspired suspense book.
Fun. Fun. So, with that, do you have a favorite author that you really enjoy? Or you could maybe even
There's
name top three if it's hard to decide.
Yes, yeah, it's hard to decide. Currently, I'm reading a book by Katie Lee, and it's Holiday. Goodness, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a love-inspired suspense book by Katie Lee, and real exciting. And I was in the mood for, since we got the holidays coming up, I was in the mood for picking up something that was holiday related, and so I chose that one. A lot of the love-inspired suspense authors, I really enjoy them. I mean, they're just all really good.
I find that authors tend to read what they write, which is great. It's great advice, by the way, for anybody listening that's an aspiring author. Read what you write. So read in that genre. But you already have a passion for the genre, right? Because you enjoy reading it. So then it
Yes.
makes it very easy to pick up and start writing it, I think. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's really important. That's one thing that I tell people when they say, what advice do you have for new writers and all? And that's one of them. One of the pieces of advice that I always give is to just, read, 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 read. And especially in the genre that you're wanting to be published in. And it's not that you're copying, but you're seeing how they put things together. How do they do the characterization? How do they, where do they introduce different things as far as plot and characters and all that? And I'll have to tell you, when I was wanting to become published with Love Inspired Suspense, I got several Love Inspired Suspense books and I created spreadsheets and I had characterization, plot, romance, suspense, all these different columns. And I was making all these notes about how each author handled each of these things. And I don't recommend this for everybody because I come from an accounting background. And so that was kind of right up my alley. That's probably not normal, but the principle is there though. Just really, you know, study how they do it. And because even different publishers want things, you know, they have different requirements and different preferences and all. So when you're targeting a particular publisher, read as much as you can in that genre, what that publisher actually publishes.
That is excellent advice. Thank you so much, Carol, for that. That is great. I would agree. Most people in writing aren't doing spreadsheets because math tends to not be something that they enjoy. But I am right there with you, Carol. I do spreadsheets at work, so I would have probably done the same thing.
Yeah.
So how can readers connect with you? And can you tell us your website address so that readers can go and see all of the books you've done so far?
Yes. Yep. My web address is, it's just my name, Carol J. Post. And my newsletter sign up is on there. You get 2 free books for signing up and ebooks. And my newsletter comes out once a month. And I usually share a giveaway, what's happening as far as my travels. I usually have something in there about my cats and just different, what I'm reading. A lot of times I'll have that in there and what's coming up, different things about what I'm working on or whatever. And so I try to keep it interesting. So, and then I'm also on Facebook, Carol J. Post, and Instagram and X. And then you can find me on, you know, like Goodreads and all.
Yeah. I have to ask, on your cats, what are their names?
They are Ziggy, Zorro, and Ziva. And every so often they take over my blog with a post called It's Saturday. They'll do it on a Saturday and we, you know, we post it on a Saturday, but it's Saturday.
My goodness. I love those names. Zorro and Ziva. Those are from TV shows, correct?
Yes.
And Ziggy, yep. Is Ziggy also? Or no?
No, Ziggy was actually my brother's cat several years back. He only had him for, I guess, about a year or so, and then gave him to me. And Zorro was a rescue from the Humane Society. And then Ziva showed up here probably about 4 months ago and had 4 kittens in our woodshed. And so we found homes for all 4 kittens, but we weren't able to find a home for Ziva. And our original plan was that we were just going to go ahead and fix her and let her be an outdoor cat and be a mouser because we thought she was feral. But it turns out she's so super sweet. She just wants to be with you constantly and wants to be in your lap and just purrs. And the other day I was petting her and she was drooling on me. That's how sweet she is. So we were like, no, this can't be an outdoor cat. Well, whenever we have cats, they're always indoors. And we have a catio that they can go, you know, in and out and enjoy the outdoors without being unsafe.
I love it. It sounds interesting. Sounds like we all need to sign up for Carol's newsletter just to keep up with the cats and their fun blog posts. All right. Do you have anything else you would like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I've just had a lot of fun being on here. I really appreciate you having me on, Melissa. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, I really enjoyed getting to know you more, Carol, because I felt like we didn't get a ton of time together at the conference. So it was great to connect again, and I'm sure we'll have you back on again in the future as well.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening in to our interview with Carol. And remember, you can connect with her through her newsletter, which you can sign up for on her website at caroljpost.com. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.